It's time for Sounding Off with Phil Goff.
That bit in the song, Phil, where she says, the time is now, show the ferret to the egg, had me perplexed for a long time. But it turns out that's a way when people, when you have a ferret trap, you use eggs, apparently.
Okay, so she wasn't encouraging the ferrets to wipe out our native birds by eating the eggs out of the nest. That's very reassuring.
I bloody hope not. Hey, Phil Goff, Mayor of Auckland, good morning. Thanks very much for talking to The Breakfast Show.
It's always a pleasure.
Let's get straight into terrible things that the council's done, shall we?
Terrible things.
Terrible things.
What have we done now?
Chopping down that carrot tree. What's going on there?
Yeah, look, I'm opposed to the cutting down of trees that are of that age and that stature. And I've never understood, if you want to move out to Titirangi, why you'd want to clear a tree off a property that's, you know, arguably a 400-year-old kauri tree in order to build a house. Don't you build a house up there because you love the trees?
Aren't they protected?
There is no protection. In fact, I've just signed off a letter to the Minister for the Environment because under the former government, they changed the Resource Management Act to reduce the protection over existing trees. And look, in some ways, the old laws probably went too far. They, you know, if you wanted to prune a tree or if you wanted to pull out a scrubby tree and you had to get resource consent, that was a step too far. But I think that, you know, what I'd ideally like to see is protection for substantial trees across the whole city. And we don't have that at the moment. It requires legislative change to get that. And in the current case of the tree in Pararoa Road in Titirangi, the court has ruled that there is no protection over it and that therefore the council is unable to act. That's regrettable because, you know, if a tree's 400 years old, it's been there a very, very long time, and why would you want to cut down?
How many is that in council years? How many councils would that be?
goes back to the to several hundred years before there was even a council. The current Minister for the Environment has indicated a willingness to look again at the laws and see how we can get that balance right between not being bureaucratic and officious and stopping people, you know, trimming trees that need to be trimmed or removing trees that are of not much value, but providing you know, reasonable protection for substantial trees and heritage trees, and the more so, look, you know, we're facing kauri dieback and the potential that kauri trees might be wiped out by that. So, you know, do we really want to start cutting down trees that are heritage trees, in my view? And the answer is we don't want to do that, but apparently we don't have the power to prevent it.
It's a foul old idea doing that, isn't it? Because Titirangi is part of the city, and that's what makes up Titirangi, and it makes up the West Coast, makes up the way that we've been and the way that we want to be. You know, it's like
That's absolutely true. You know, Titirangi is a very special suburb because it's a suburb where houses have been built in and nestled amongst the trees. And
to be fair, that makes some of them a bit damp. But yeah, I'm just saying. Too bad, eh? Too bad.
We've lost so much of our tree canopy cover now. We don't want to keep losing it. So, you know, look, I asked for a report on that when I saw that the court had made the move. The court ruled that the tree's not in a special ecological area, nor is it on the notable tree scheduled.
And it has court. No protection. Yeah.
And you know, I can't do anything about that. But for the future, do we need a better plan for protecting the canopy cover in Auckland? I say it's about balance. You know, there'll be trees that will have to be removed and are removed. Sometimes I see a fuss over a tree that's, I'm thinking of a few pine trees in a certain area, and I think, well, they're not significant trees. It's not really hugely important, but a 400-year-old kauri tree is.
Slow grower like a kauri, yeah. Mm. So let's keep it environmental. What's the thinking about poisoning the Dome Valley with a landfill? What's the deal there?
Well, the
I've held off talking about this, Phil, because I wanted to get a bit more details. But now
there is a there 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 is or soon will be an application by Waste Management Limited to replace a current landfill with a landfill in the Dome Valley. That has to go through an extensive process. That process will be rigorous in terms of not allowing leachate or allowing materials to find their way into the river.
We've had a couple of examples of that too recently, haven't we? We've had
the West Coast leaching there,
and then the fire at the Hampton Downs as well recently.
But you know, look, in the old days, the protections were hopeless out at Waikowhai Bay and Pikes Point and places like that. Councils, the old borough councils, used to put their landfill right on the harbour or in the harbour.
There's that one that used to be bottom of Barry's Point Road, below Ross Mini College.
Where the golf range
is. Right where the mangroves are.
So we've moved way beyond that. So there are two things that I think that the residents are concerned about, and I'm sympathetic to the concerns that they have. One is that it not be allowed to taint the environment by polluting the water supplies, and that is an absolute bottom line. So in order for the proposal to be accepted, the independent hearing commissioners and then the Environment Court would need to be persuaded that they have 21st century protection against that happening and against the risk of that happening. The second thing, which is harder to deal with, is obviously the residents don't want to have trucks driving down their road taking the stuff to the landfill.
Well, not just the residents. If it's going to be a major a landfill, then you're going to have trucks coming up, and you're going to have trucks on that already congested highway and tunnel, aren't you, from the city?
That's true. Regardless, almost where you put the landfill around Auckland,
but that particular tunnel, that area, the Holiday Highway, they call it, is a real bummer.
They are spending money, obviously, on that to upgrade and make it safer.
But not for rubbish trucks.
I think probably the third and less pronounced view is that the residents are saying, well, we don't want the Dome Valley to be associated with having a rubbish tip there. But, the fact is, I probably don't want the area that I live in associated with having a quarry there and the hundreds of truck movements each day. But the fact is, while we're reducing stuff and doing everything we can to reduce stuff going into landfill, there'll still be a need for it and it'll have to go somewhere. So ultimately, there has to be an approval to build these things while they are still needed, but that doesn't in any way mitigate against absolutely top level environmental standards to prevent any environmental contamination. But the stuff on the trucks on the road, well, we've got trucks on the roads all over Auckland, and it's a pain in the butt. I was behind one of them today coming into work at doing about 50k through a 100k area, and where you can't pass, it is a pain in the neck. But I accept, our community's got to put up with that because we need aggregate for our roads. Some community will have to put up with having a landfill because we need the stuff that we can't recycle, we're still landfilling. So, ultimately a council has to make some hard decisions that might not please everybody locally, but which the city and the region as a whole need, and that's a fact of life that you can't avoid.
What about the City Rail Link? There was quite a detailed story over the weekend about how it's destroying some of the smaller businesses. I know anyone that's been trying to drive down Albert Street, see you later. That's an absolute mess. But so it's not only costing us more; it's hurting the small businesses. Which I kind of see as that's what happens. Businesses. Yeah. When you have a business in Central City, for whatever reason, if there's a development nearby, that you sort of take that risk, I think, a wee bit. But it must be hard when you've got something. You've got people who are trying to stay alive, and you're bailing out places like Eden Park and spending money on all sorts of other things. And same with the greatest council in the world, and they've got this overpriced thing that's taken a million years to get done, and they're going crazy trying to keep their business alive.
Let's get it all in,
Mr. Mayor.
Let's get it all in perspective. Do we need a City Rail Link? Yeah, we needed it actually about 10 years ago. When you make omelettes, do you break eggs? Of course you do. You can't build a City Rail Link without going through the process of the construction, and that's not just the City Rail Link, that's any one of a number of projects all over the city for as long as the city's been there. When you build something, it is disruptive, and First point, City Rail Link Limited need to liaise, and I understand from them, have been liaising with businesses as to how you can minimise the disruption. Second thing is the claim seems to be around compensation. You were complaining a moment ago that the cost of the City Rail Link is high, and it is. If the City Rail Link Limited had to provide compensation for any losses all the way down the track, then you'd be putting quite a substantial bill on the ratepayers as well. And there has never been a rule, other than under the Public Works Act, that compensation must be payable. Now,
if you're a small business owner and you're basically on the verge of a nervous breakdown, and I guess dealing with the City Rail Link people is obviously not doesn't seem to be that easy. And then you see your council, City Council, giving Eden Park $63 million.
Yeah, okay, well,
I know they're different things, but it's got to hurt, doesn't it?
Let's deal with Eden Park, because we've had that conversation before. First of all, I do just want to deal with that. Okay. $53 million of that is a loan on commercial terms. The $10 million, which was a grant, which should have been secured against the property, I opposed, and we've had that conversation. So there's not a parallel. This needs to be looked at in its own right. Do we need to be sympathetic to the needs of the businesses? Of course we do. And your heart goes out for some of those people where they are affected, and everything ought to be done that can be done to minimise the disruption to the business, but you cannot eliminate 100% the disruption that occurs when you build a major construction project. Secondly, for those that own the properties in those areas, of course, when the City Rail Link is finished, their property value will probably go up by at least a third. You're talking about millions of dollars right on their doorstep. Yeah. The ultimate end, and the end ultimately for the businesses that exist, might not be the same businesses, of course. This is going to be a huge boon to them, because it's how people can get around the city. But the question of compensation, first of all, you'd have to get agreement from the major shareholder in it, which is the government. And the government, as much as I understand, has no appetite for providing compensation every time a construction work goes into place. And before I would want to establish that precedent and load the bill onto Auckland ratepayers, you'd have to know what you were getting yourself in for. And it's not happened in the past. There are no proposals on the table at the moment, and I don't think there will be in the future. But the focus needs to be on working with those businesses to try to the absolute extent possible, to minimise disruption and loss to them. But, I know personally, good friend of mine actually, one of the persons that leading that campaign, and he knows that he bought the lease on that hotel when the construction was already underway. So
yeah,
it's not coming as a surprise to him that there would be that problem.
Right.
In fact, I opened his establishment when he moved into it.
Yep.
But look, I hope the communication is as good as it needs to be, and I'm checking that through with CRLL Limited, and that they are doing everything they can to help, but we can't stop the disruption that that construction will inevitably cause. And, that's for the greater good. If you were to say, well, we're not going to construct that because it will cause problems for the short term for these people, then you'd never do anything. And so we obviously have to move ahead and do that, but try to help the businesses as much as we can in the process.
All right. Now, very quickly, I know that you have a military connection. Anzac Day coming up. We've been told that there's going to be a lot less Anzac services. Obviously, it's a matter of police being stretched. What about those people who feel that this is a time when many of us should be going out to support something like Anzac Day as possible?
Yeah, well, and everybody will still have the opportunity to do that. The decision that has been made is a decision at the request of the police. And I kind of regret the decision, because I don't like the idea that this terrorist is causing a disruption in something that's pretty important as an annual event in our country. I've got to follow the police advice. will be happening is that I usually do two or three services if, on Anzac Day, is that some of them will be amalgamated. That will be, that's not a permanent thing. It will happen for as long as our security risk level is rated as high and the police have to be at functions to provide that protection. So I understand, you know, while I would rather the decision not have been made, I understand the police perspective and why they've had to make that recommendation to us. But everybody, and you know, I hope everybody does turn out that's able to on Anzac Day. You know, it's great to see the crowds there. It's great to see the younger people there remembering those that gave their lives for their country. It's an important event. It's a critical thing in our remembrance and our commemoration of those who served their country. So there will still be those opportunities, but there will be consolidation of the services because of the peculiar circumstances at this particular time.
Phil Goff, Mayor of Auckland, thank you very much. Have a wonderful week.
Okay, you too.
Bye-bye.
Catch you later, mate. Bye.
That was Sounding Off with Phil Goff.
Nice pressing. Half speed master? Pristine grooves. Oh, 180 gram.
It's thick.
Take me now.
Oh, is that the runout etching?
Love vinyl? Us too. That's why we're broadcasting live from Southbound Records 4 Record Store Day. From 8, Jump from Swap Meet will be in-store spinning tunes. Then from 9, you can come join them. Grab some deals, some Record Store Day exclusive releases. There'll even be free baking and coffee till midday. 95 BFM Record Store Day, live from Southbound Records. 132 Simon Street, this Saturday, 8 a.m. till 11.
This week at the Hollywood Avondale. A rare 35mm print of David Lynch's masterpiece, Blue Velvet, Thursday at 7:30. Then on Friday, a special 35th anniversary screening of an NZ cult classic, Death Warmed Up, 7:30 with cast and crew in the house for a Q&A. Saturday brings post-apocalyptic heaven with a Mad Max marathon with all four films back-to-back. And Sunday has 35mm family screenings of Steven Spielberg's E.T. and the John Hughes classic Planes, Trains and Automobiles. Tickets and details at hollywoodavondale.nz or our Facebook page.
Hakarongo mai, it's Māori words. Because he waka eke noa. E noho Māori tau ana aho. I'm just chilling.
Hey, you look really stressed out. Are you all good?
Yeah, I'm great. Good. Awesome. E noho Māori tau ana aho. I feel fine.
E noho Māori tau ana aho. I'm just chilling. Māori words. Karawhiua. Give it a go.
BFM News Headlines.
Atamaria, your headlines for 9 o'clock. A number of Auckland Anzac Day services will be merged with larger events after consultation with police on security. A group called NZ Leaders Stand Together will be sharing resources on how organisations can improve diversity and inclusivity in their workplaces. The Finance and Expenditure Select Committee has recommended only minor changes to the government bill banning semi-automatic rifles, and the UN has condemned an airstrike that closed the only functioning airport in Libya's capital on Monday. These stories in full at 9 o'clock.
Thank you, too.
No worries.
You gotta know, cause Yo, check this out. This is Flavor Flav, a public enemy. Come on down and be a friend of me. Over and over, again and again and again of me. And you are checking out the flyest show ever right here in New Zealand on 95 BFM. So listen to us and not them.
You know, and that's the problem. You know? You know?
Records like that that make me want to go to Record Store Day, which is coming up, of course. And to celebrate Record Store Day, I've got a $50 Southbound Records voucher, but you've got to spend it on Record Store Day. And when do you win that, do you think? Do you think you'll win that now? You'll win it when you hear me play this sound next. Why? But isn't the train to Record Store Day? When you hear me play that sound next, be the first person to give me a call on 0930938 79. You must have a Simplicity B card, and if you're the first person, then you'll win a $50 voucher, and you can spend it on records, on Record Store Day at Southbound Records.
The ghost who walks, she's on the prowl for the man.
Presents Disc Woman, a full sweat all night warehouse rave with Disc Woman co-founder Oom Fang, Sonic Disruptor Shy Boy, and support from Half Queen, Orbi, and KTK. Disc Woman with Oom Fang and Shy Boy, Saturday, May 4th at Silent Studios. Tickets from momentsnz.com.
I do not believe it. Record Store Day at Real Groovy just has too much good stuff. Too much. Deals, exclusives, free parking, and this list of DJs. Tom Scott from Avantdale Bowling Club, Sandy Mill from New Telepathics, legendary photographer Murray Kamick, and Callum Rooney and Tony Pike from Ounce. Plus a grand prize giveaway of a Project Debut Carbon Record Master and a runner-up prize of a bundle of goodies from Proper Crisps. Too Mecca. Record Store Day at Real Groovy, Saturday, April 13th, 520 Queen Street.
A group of emperor penguins huddled close, moving together in synchronized waves. This is Universal Harmony.
Radiating togetherness with positive energy, this is Universal Harmony.
As wholesome as fresh sliced sourdough and as empowering as winning a prize at school assembly, this is Universal Harmony.
Tuesday nights from 10 till midnight are